Let's turn in the scriptures tonight to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, a well-known portion. Acts chapter 9, it's a portion that deals with the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. But let's read together Acts 9 verse 1. Beginning to read there. Acts chapter 9 verse number 1. Let us hear the word of God. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. Let's unite our hearts together again, please, in a word of prayer. And just, I would encourage you in the quietness of your living room or wherever you're watching from or listening from, bow your head and your heart before God. Just say, Lord, speak to me. Speak to my heart. Minister to me through the word. You just take a moment here and do that. The quietness of your own home as we come to the scriptures of truth. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the holy name of Jesus Christ, and by the merits of his blood, we approach again the throne of grace and of mercy. And we thank thee for the Son of God that loved sinners and gave himself for them. And we thank thee, O God, tonight for the scriptures and our own mother tongue. And we pray, our Father, tonight as we turn to the word, we pray, O God, that your hand would be upon everyone that will listen. We pray, O God, that thy truth will go forth with power. We pray that you'll bind the devil and every power of darkness. We pray that the blood of the Lamb will prevail, and that in everything that's said, Christ will be exalted, and may he see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Lord, I confess before thee my complete inadequacy and unworthiness to deal with what's before me now in this broadcast. Empty me now of self and sin. Wash me completely in the blood of Christ. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. Grant that divine anointing, that holy baptism, which the Lord alone does give, the baptism to preach, and the baptism to hear the word with profit. Lord, close every living room in with thyself, and let the blood of the Lamb prevail, and let the word have free course, and be glorified. We ask in Jesus' name, and we ask for God's eternal praise. Amen. Amen. Saul of Tarsus had a reign of terror against the Christian church. His very name in those days worked terror in the minds of the believers. Now the scriptures tell us some things about him and his upbringing. Saul was a Jew. He was born in the city of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia. He was schooled at the feet of a man called Gamaliel in the city of Jerusalem. Gamaliel was a great Jewish scholar, an eminent Pharisee, and a member of the Sanhedrin. But Saul of Tarsus was a zealous Jew. He persecuted Christians ruthlessly. He persecuted them unto death. He put in prison both Christian men and Christian women. Paul tells us himself on that day when he testified, words recorded in Acts 26. I'll just read you what he said. Acts 26, on that day when he testified of his life before he was a Christian, he said this, "I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from all the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them." When they were put to death, a plurality of believers that this man had raised his voice against and sought to continually persecute. He went on to say in Acts 26, "I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities." Another occasion when he wrote to Timothy, Paul, he said, "I was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, injurious, against the church of Christ." Oh, this is the man that we're looking at here tonight. He was a man filled with zeal, filled with venom against Christ and his church, against God and his truth, against the Spirit of God and his movings. We read at the very opening of the broadcast of that day when Stephen was stoned to death. And the Bible tells us when Stephen was martyred, calling upon God, Saul of Tarsus was in charge. You see that in Acts 7 verse 59, if you just want to look with me there. Acts 7, verse 59, in fact, verse 58, Acts 7, 58, "And cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul." Whenever they laid down their clothes at somebody's feet, it wasn't that he would keep an eye sort of on the clothes. It was signifying that Saul was in charge of the whole procedure. He was giving the orders. He was directing the awful martyrdom of that young man of God called Stephen. Chapter 8, verse 1 of Acts. It begins with these words, "And Saul was consenting unto his death." That's the death of Stephen. What happened to Stephen pleased Saul greatly. And yet, dear people, understand that what happened to Stephen was mob fury at its worst. And then when we come into chapter 9, this reign of terror is still going on, because chapter 9 begins, verse number 1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord." It's to be read as a follow-on, chapter 9, verse 1, from chapter 8, verse 1. It's just the way this man was living his life. Saul still breathing out threatening and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. It's the onward march of a reign of terror. That's what it was. Against the church of Christ. But I don't want to speak tonight about the onward march of a reign of terror. I want to speak tonight for the time that I have on the day Saul's reign of terror ended. The day Saul's reign of terror ended. And it is my prayer that as we look at the day Saul of Tarsus' life changed forever, that as this message goes forth across the homes that are listening to this message, that there might be souls, and the reign of sin will end, and the reign of the devil and lives will end, and that as Saul of Tarsus was converted, and we're going to look at it, it's my prayer and the prayers of these churches that your life will be transformed too by the same grace. The first thing I want to show you about the day that Saul of Tarsus was converted is this. It was a day of fury. It was a day of fury. As I've already stated, chapter 9, verse 1 of Acts is a follow-on from chapter 8, verse 1. It's to show that nothing had changed in Saul's life. And chapter 9, verse 1 says, "And Saul yet," or Saul still, "breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way means any Christians, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem." The chaos, the blood spilling, the anarchy. This man had inflicted on the church of Christ only whetted his appetite for more. This is how he appears first in the page of Scripture. Acts 7, the awful mob fury and the death of Stephen, his martyrdom. And then Acts 8, he's still continuing. And then Acts 9, still breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went on to the high priest. That's how he appears in the page of Scripture, men and women. And the Lord doesn't conceal his past. And I don't know every reason for it, but I know one of them. That the church would never despair about a sinner far down in sin. Because when we see Saul of Tarsus, we see a man that was given over to the destruction of Christ's church. And yet a man that was to become the greatest missionary of the cross in Christ's church. But that's how he appears. And here we have him now in Acts 9. Verse 2 says, desired of him letters, desired of the high priest letters to go to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. Now, what's that all about? Well, the reason Saul desired letters of the high priest was this, that though Damascus was in a foreign country and under a different government, yet the high priest in Jerusalem claimed jurisdiction over all persons belonging to the Jewish church wherever they lived. And the reason they would be brought to Jerusalem would have been to try them by the high priest and the Sanhedrin and try them for what they believed in Jesus Christ. Here's Saul of Tarsus, and he wants to go to Damascus, and he wants to search out these people that have left Judaism and are now followers of Christ, and he wants to bring them back and try them before the Sanhedrin. I say to you again, he was a man bent on the destruction of the church, bent in his rejection of Christ. This day began as a day of fury, a day of madness. At this point, a man with no time for Christ or his gospel. Dear people, this is history. This happened. This situation that we have read of tonight, this is his mindset. This is the way this man thought. Now, dear unsaved, what about you watching this broadcast? Now, at this point, you may protest vehemently, and you may say, now, excuse me, preacher, but there is absolutely no way that I could be in any way associated with the behavior of Saul of Tarsus. I would never harm Christ's church. I would never do the things he did. I don't doubt that. But dear unsaved friend, I want you to understand there's the same underlying problem. You're in your sin as Saul was. You're a rejecter of Christ, as Saul was. You're in your rebellion against Christ. The same spirit that led Saul leads you. And I say to you, though Saul's was a day of fury, and I said a day of madness, yours is a day of madness. It's a day of madness. Because you're playing with your soul. You're playing with sin. Your will's against God. You're going down a journey that if you never repent, if you never come to Christ, it's going to end in eternal disaster. But here's Saul. Saul of Tarsus. And the day begins before us, a day of fury. It was also a day of exclusion. A day of exclusion. What do I mean by that? Verse 1, Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. That term, against the disciples of the Lord, it shows exclusion. And that it means that among the Lord's people, Saul was not counted in. It shows he wasn't a member of Christ's church. It shows he wasn't a member of his body. You couldn't say Saul of Tarsus wasn't religious. He was. Religious, yes. Saved, no. Read the scriptures, yes. Saved, no. Read the scriptures, yes. Came to the Christ of the scriptures, no. And could that just be something else? That just about sum up that are listening to this message? Religious, yes. Saved, no. Know the scriptures, yes. Know the Christ of the scriptures? No. Found in the house of God? Yes. Found in union with the Christ of God? No. Dear unsaved, let me speak to you a moment. You're rejecting Christ. You're in your sin. And among the saints of God, you're not counted in. Before this virus came, you probably came to public worship. And you sat among the blood-bought throng. And you talked with them. And you sang the hymns with them. But in that day, when the Lord will make up his jewels, you're not counted in. You were never redeemed by the same blood. Saul of Tarsus here, it's a day of exclusion. He's not counted in among the saints. And I say again, dear unsaved, are you? If you're not in Christ, you're not on your way to heaven. The Lord Jesus is not your Savior. God's not your Father. The Holy Ghost is not your comforter and guide. Heaven won't be your home. And I'm appealing to you in the comfort of your living room or wherever you're watching this from or listening to it from. There are some things in life that you can go wrong on, and it's not the end of the world. This isn't one of them. Are you in Christ? Are you saved? Are you forgiven? Are you pardoned? At this moment in Saul of Tarsus' life, he wasn't. Exclusion. It was also a day of journeying. Verse number 3 of Acts 9 says, "And as he journeyed." Now, it's more in view there than just walking down the road to Damascus. It gives the sense of this continuing lifestyle, this continuing mindset. Certainly, I know he's journeying toward Damascus. But let me ask you something else, unsaved friend, as you watch this. How long have you been journeying down this road? Remember, it's more than just traveling to Damascus here. It's this mindset, this lifestyle. How long have you been journeying down it? Rejecting Christ in your sin. I say to you, not a wise journey, a terrible journey. You're not saved. You're in your sin, in your Christ rejection, and yet you journey on. You journey on down this road, this continual lifestyle, journeying on in sin, journeying on toward eternity. Every tick of the clock takes you nearer to the end of the journey because time goes swiftly by. But dear unsaved, you have to see it. Time is running out. Your little moment on the world stage is coming to a close. I don't know when, but it's coming to a close. Soon, to use the phrase, the final curtain will fall. And it'll be the end of the journey. And you've ended the journey without Christ. And you've ended the journey without hope. Let me tell you of a man that our Lord told us of. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, the same man that wrote Acts wrote about him. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, a man that thought he had many days left, many years to enjoy his bounty, to enjoy his harvest. But men and women, think about it. The Lord tells us that he hadn't even one more day. The Lord says of that man, God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Luke 12:20. Those words, this night, the end of the journey. The end of the journey. This night, devils await it. This night, our Lord in Luke 12 just gives a little view of the final moments of the Christ rejecter as devils gather to carry the soul away to hell. That's what our Lord shows us. Whenever our Lord said of that man in Luke 12, "This night thy soul," he's saying the journey ends tonight. Let me ask you, unsaved friend, will the pleasures of sin comfort you at the end of the journey? If you die tonight, and I'm not scaremongering, don't believe in it, but the Bible gives us the truth that you could, so could I. But if you die tonight, what good will the pleasures of sin do you? I'm saying this, they'll not comfort you tonight. The end of the journey, that fearful moment when one leaves the world in which they have lived. What sort of journey are you on? If I could politely, by way of this broadcast, enter your living room, enter your kitchen, wherever you're watching this, and just ask you, what sort of journey are you on, young person? Older person? Because in the spiritual realm, there only are two journeys. There's a journey in grace, or there's a journey in sin. And there's only two ways to end the journey, and that's in Christ or out of Him. And there's only two destinies at the end of the journey, heaven with Christ, oh, the bliss of that moment, or hell without Him, and oh, the terror of that moment, the end of the journey. I think I speak to some tonight, and it's a journey, and you're still unsaved, and the Lord has caused you many times across this journey to stop and think. A Christian workmate, gospel preaching, family friend. Somebody maybe coming up to you and saying, friend, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you as you journey on down the corridors of time toward the everlasting day. And still you journey on. I pray to God He stops your journey tonight. Stops your journey in sin. Paul, Saul of Tarsus here, verse number 3, as he journeyed. I want you to note something else about those words, as he journeyed. I want you to note that the Lord noted the journey and noted what he did on it. Look at Acts 9 verse 3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. Suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Look at how the chapter begins, verse 1, Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter. Do you note that? The Lord notices and notes every part of the journey. His mindset, his desire, his intentions, whom the attention was against. Oh dear unsaved, you need to think about this. The Lord has noted every detail of your journey. It wasn't the Apostle Paul that wrote the book of Luke, or book of Acts, it was Luke. But the Holy Ghost leads Luke to write about this journey that Saul of Tarsus is on. Let me show you a couple of those other things, or a couple of other journeys. Go with me to the book of Genesis, please. And turn with me there to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. And look with me at verse number 9 as we think about this journey. Genesis 12, verse 9. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now just note that. Keep your finger in Acts 9 because obviously we're going back there. So that's Genesis 12. That's Abram's journey. Go to Genesis 33 now. Genesis 33 verse number 17. Genesis 33, 17. And there we read, and Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built him an house and made booths for his cattle. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth. Go to Luke chapter 15 with me. Luke chapter 15, here's our Lord telling the story of the prodigal. And Luke Chapter 15, verse 13, our Lord tells us about this young man. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey. Now note that. Took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, dear unsaved, what I want you to note about this. Dealing with Abram and Jacob first in Genesis. Abram and Jacob didn't write Genesis. Moses wrote it. Their paths never crossed. They never met each other. But God Almighty told Moses hundreds of years later about Abram journeying south, about Jacob going to Succoth and his cattle, and all about him, because it was all recorded. And Luke 15, our Lord telling us about the prodigal and his journey. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey. The journey that led to the ruined life and the wasting of the substance. And God tells Luke, write it down. The journey recorded. Dear unsaved, please understand this. Your journeys are not hid from God. The whole journey of your life's recorded in heaven. As you sit tonight by your fireside in these strange days that we're passing through, all things are naked and open before God. Your journey is noted. I know of a man who went to a gospel mission one night. The preacher was preaching about the judgment, and the book's been opened. All books written of all that he did and all that he said, or all that any individual thinks. And after the meeting, the man that went there to hear that message was unsaved, and he said to his friend, on the way home, tell me again about that judgment. And his friend said to him, everything anybody has ever done, said, or thought, it's all recorded. And the man cried out, oh God! I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. Unsaved friend, you're in trouble with God. The deeds of your life are recorded as they were with Saul of Tarsus as he journeyed. Everything recorded about the life so far. But then it turns. On this day, it was not only a day of fury and a day of exclusion and a day of journeying. It was a day with divine intervention. Verse 3 says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? The divine intervention in this man's life, introduced by the words, suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. A light from heaven that outshone the midday sun. A light from heaven that stopped this march of madness on this Damascus road. He meets, and Christ comes and meets Saul of Tarsus, meets Saul with intervention, and meets Saul with the power of the word. Saul, Saul. Saul, Saul. Saul had never met our Lord. But when the risen, ascended Christ said to Saul of Tarsus, Saul, Saul, Saul of Tarsus knew, Christ knew all about him. And oh, that tonight in your home, you might hear the power of the word too. Mary, Mary, Billy, John, grasp it. Christ knows all about you. He knows your name. He knows your journey. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Note the response. The sinner that reigned with terror is now filled with terror as he meets the Christ of God, meets him in his guilt, meets him in his persecution of his church, meets him in his sin. It presents, dear people, the great truth that every unrepentant soul that dies in that condition and stands before Christ in judgment will do so in terror. The sinner, when he meets Christ, is in terror. The saint, when he sees him, there's no terror. Cast your mind back to where we read tonight, Acts chapter 7. Stephen's life's been taken away by mob fury. And he looks up into heaven and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he says, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. The Christian martyr calmly dying. But now Saul of Tarsus meets Christ in terror. Never pardoned. Never forgiven. All bravado gone. Realizing his sin has found him out. Dear unsaved, you understand this. Be sure your sin will find you out. I don't care who you think doesn't know about it. I'm trying as best I can to show you God Almighty knows about it, and therefore it's little odds who else knows about it. God knows what you've done. God knows what you're doing. God knew what Saul of Tarsus was doing. And he comes to him here on the Damascus Road. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul says, who art thou, Lord? Verse 5, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. What were these pricks? Pricks of conviction that had begun the day Stephen was martyred. Pricks of conviction that have been felt in Saul of Tarsus's soul, the troubled conscience that began at the martyrdom of Stephen. Now let me ask something tonight, because it could be, and I hope it is, that as you watch this message, you know God has been dealing with you. You know there's trouble in your soul. You know there are those certain sins and you try to forget about them, but you can't. And you wish they had never been done, but that's they have been. Night and day, God's hand's heavy upon you. And you feel your guilt and you feel your sin and the pricks of conviction and the troubled conscience. You need to meet this Christ that Saul of Tarsus met. Saul of Tarsus here prostrate on the old Damascus road before Christ. Saul's conquered and by the word of God slain. Saul, Saul, see the power of the word, Saul, Saul. Saul never met Christ. But he's saying, this man knows all about me. Saul, I know all about you, all your attacks on my people, and I'm taking it personally. And when Christ, when Paul or Saul saw Jesus of Nazareth, whom he had heard of, who had lived, died, rose again, Saul now knew all he heard was to be believed. Christ was the Messiah. Christ was the Redeemer. Christ was his only hope. Marvelous moment in the life of any sinner and in the life of this one. Here he is, prostrate in the Damascus Road, conquered. by the Word of God. Met the Christ of God. It was a day of intervention. Finally, it was a day of grace. Verse 6. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The word Lord, it means, or can be translated, Master. Master, what wilt thou have me to do? Isn't that lovely? Saul of Tarsus. Dark, wicked, falls prostrate on the Damascus road. But the Saul of Tarsus that fell on that road never got off it. Because the man that rose off that road was a new creature in Christ, saved by Christ, born from above, and his own testimony tells it, Master, I once persecuted you, but now you're my master. The reign of sin was over. The man, I say, that fell prostrate on the Damascus road never got off it. Because the man that got off the Damascus road and said, Master, what will ye have me to do? He was to be the greatest missionary of the cross the church ever had. He wrote 14 books of the New Testament. But here's the moment it happened. Here's the moment his day of fury ended. And from this moment, Paul, the rest of his life, unashamedly declared Christ to be his God and Christ to be his master. And from this moment, Saul of Tarsus, who was to become Paul, all he did was live for Christ and died and went to be with him. What grace. You see, the Lord could have destroyed Saul of Tarsus. But he brought his reign of terror to an end by his grace. Grace intervened in the Damascus road, and arose a preacher of the word and a missionary of the cross. Dear believer, I don't know where you were the night you got saved. But that day you knelt at the cross, that person that knelt there never rose again. Because you rose a new creature in Christ, serving a good master, serving a great redeemer. But dear unsaved, I've got to go back to you. What about this journey you're on? Billy, John, Sean, Mary. You're either journeying in sin or you're journeying in grace. You're either in Christ or you're without him. You're either going to heaven or you're going to perish in hell forevermore. My friend, you need to come to Christ. It's the challenge of the message. Saul arose and followed him, charmed to confess the voice divine. And I say to you in your home right now, will you arise as Saul did and say, Master, my Savior, my God, and from this moment forward, I will live for thee. Will you turn from sin now, repent of it, and flee to this same Christ, and be washed in his blood, and be clothed in the garments of salvation? Oh, dear unsaved friend, there's a remedy for your sin, the same remedy that there was for Saul of Tarsus. And let me tell you where that remedy was found. Let me tell you of another journey, a journey that the Son of God took. When he left Gabbatha's judgment hall and he went out to Golgotha. And the Bible says when he was come to the place called Calvary, they crucified him. Why did they crucify him? They crucified him for sin. Whose was the sin? It wasn't his. He didn't have any. He knew no sin. He couldn't sin.
There was no guile in his mouth. But he died for sins, the sins of Saul of Tarsus. He died for the sins of this preacher. Died for sins of people like you and me, that if we turn from sin, flee to him, seek him, he'll pardon. He'll pardon. Will you come to him? Will you tonight take the place Saul of Tarsus took? When Christ appeared to Saul of Tarsus, Saul saw that the work of redemption was complete. That Christ had risen and was now at God's right hand. But sinner, from this same Christ that saved Saul goes out the invitation, come. Come to Christ. Come and be pardoned. Come and be forgiven. Come and be saved. Right now, wherever you are, repent, believe the gospel. I don't know what God will do with you if you do. What he did with Saul of Tarsus was glorious. Great missionary, preacher, writer of scripture. Only God knows, young person. Listen to this message. You come to Christ tonight, give your life to him. Only God knows what he'll do for you and do with you. But though I can't answer what he'll do with you, I can tell you this, where you'll end up. There's a land that's fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet, by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet, by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Will you come to Christ? Will you step out in the promise? You say, what's the promise, preacher? You come to him and save you. Our Lord said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and they that come to me I'll never cast out. Will you come? Come now, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, and they are, they'll be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they'll be as wool. Sinner, you have God's word for it. Record it over and over again in this book. If you come, Christ will save you. The blood will wash your sin away. You'll be clothed in the garments of salvation. Come to Christ. Seek him. Right where you are in your home. Bow your head and your heart before heaven. Say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me. Say, turn from sin. Friend, step out in the promise. Get under the blood. Let us pray. Just in these moments of silence in your home, maybe you're there on your own. Ah, my friend, you're not on your own. God's there. God has been speaking. Today, if you hear his voice, just come. Don't harden your heart. But come to Christ and be saved tonight. Father, take your word. Apply all that's been of thee. Let it live on in every soul. Thank you for the day you saved Saul of Tarsus. Lord, save tonight. Save across the country as people hear the word. Apply truth by the Spirit. Let there be rejoicing in the kingdom of heaven over sinners being converted. Bind the devil in these moments as he would seek to snatch away the seed and tell dear unsaved souls why they shouldn't come. Oh God, give deciding grace. and answer prayer now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.